Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
No one can doubt this nation is quickly falling away from God. More and more, we are looking like a post-Christian culture. Is the church fulfilling its rightful role of being salt and light? Is the church presenting the answers to the many questions that are being asked today? Do Christians know how to live in a post-Christian world? How well do Christians know how to live biblically? My guest today is Joel Saint. He's Executive Director of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. Thanks, Joel, for being with us.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you for having me, Diane.
Now, we'll just start at the beginning. What is the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, or MARS?
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society was started more like 10 years ago. And a group of us got together, Christians, and we noticed something that is kind of obvious, maybe even more obvious now. We noticed that a lot of topics that the Bible addressed were not being preached in the church at all. Topics like, even a modern one, immigration, that wasn't a thing back then. But criminal justice, just weights and measures, inflation, education, entertainment. These were all issues that the Bible addresses, but I'd be very shocked if anyone listening to this broadcast right now could raise their hand and say, "Oh yeah, yes." Just last week, my pastor preached a sermon on criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that most of the listeners haven't heard that within the last 5 or 10 years, if they've ever heard one at all. Well, what we wanted to do was we started a society to address those topics that are social in nature that the Bible addresses directly. For example, Proverbs tells us that dishonest weights are an abomination to the Lord. Now, that's shocking to some people because, wait a minute. I thought the Bible's just spiritual. Well, God says very clearly he hates, that's what abomination means, he hates dishonest weights and measures. But then he says that just measures and weights are his delight.
Exactly.
God actually delights in honest money. In any case, that's just a real quick example, but that is an example of what we do, and we've had lecture series, we have YouTube videos, and we go to whoever will have us to lecture on a topic that, again, that the Bible addresses, but is not being addressed in churches. I got to tell you, Diane, when you're addressing topics that the Bible addresses but the church doesn't, you'll never run out of material. There's plenty there.
No, there's no doubt about that. There's plenty there. Yeah, increasingly we see the church falling further away from God. And the church should be where people can go to get answers because the scriptures tell us how to live, tell us how to address the various issues that we see in culture. And, I mean, no one can deny that there's a big gap. Anyone who knows the Bible cannot deny that there's a big gap between what Scripture says and the way too many churchgoers are living. There's no doubt about that. Now, you mentioned you have several activities, you do several things to educate folks. One of those is the Future of Christendom Conferences. What is that, and what's the next one coming up?
Yeah, coming up this October 18th and 19th, being held in Lancaster at the Lancaster Convention Center. The theme is advancing the kingdom through enterprise. And what we're doing there is we've got a great spate of speakers lined up. We're doing it like TED Talks, called Mars Express Talks, if you will. We're going to topic after topic after topic in 18-minute spurts, if you will. And we have men like Noah Sanders coming. We have Rob Monster, who is a Silicon Valley Christian who's run up against some of the toughest people that dislike him in Silicon Valley. He's been written up and attacked in the Huffington Post. So there's pretty good credentials right there.
Yeah.
For sure. And we have Noah Sanders, who's written on agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And our purpose really is to get people thinking about expanding the kingdom of heaven through business and through enterprise. And really, you think about it, some of the great men in the Bible were businessmen, enterprising men, men like Job, men like Abraham,
mm-hmm.
Isaac, and Jacob. Enterprising men, godly men, who knew business and knew how to love and serve their neighbor. And so that is our goal this year, to get people to think that way. And we ultimately, we believe that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea,
mm-hmm.
and that means everything, even business. So let's get down and get to work as believers. Let's start businesses whenever, wherever we can.
Absolutely, because, you know, just there's so many parts of society or aspects of society that Christians are not involved in. And I think, you know, business would be, because God does have things to say about business and how to run a business such as that, as you mentioned earlier. So you actually have one of the speakers who's a Christian in Silicon Valley. Is that what you said?
Yeah, his name is Rob Monster. He now lives in Seattle, Washington, but he'll be there. Rob will be there, and he is the kind of guy who has, on more than one occasion, shall we say, well, put it this way, he's hated by people who hate Christ.
that's
what I'll say. And he's realized, this is what he's realized. He's realized, and I don't really understand, Diane, I don't really understand how the Internet works with platforms and domains and,
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that he's concerned about is that the Googles, Facebooks of the world, the Apples of the world, the Microsofts of the world, they're getting closer and closer to shutting us out completely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're already being shadow banned, sometimes outright banned, sometimes shadow banned. And we might be closer than we think to being banned altogether, not even have a platform. And he is a man that realizes this and has really dedicated his life to preserving free speech for Christians. And we're just thrilled to have him come to our conference this year.
Yeah, that sounds really great, because it's definitely evidence every single day that the big Google, the social media giants, such as Google and Facebook and Twitter, I mean, that they're definitely out to ban Christians from speaking the truth and addressing the issues that need to be addressed. And I also saw that one of your speakers is going to be an attorney with Liberty Counsel, Jonathan Alexander. He's Senior Counsel for Governmental Affairs for Liberty Counsel. I was glad to see that Jonathan was going to be there.
We're thrilled to have him. We want him to address that topic, which is a business topic.
Mm-hmm.
We started out with the idea of thinking about this as about the whole wedding cake controversy.
Okay.
And so we thought we would have him come to talk about the legal aspects of that particular problem
mm-hmm.
that we now face.
Right.
So we're thrilled to have Jonathan Alexander come as well. He lives in Washington, D.C. He's coming up to our conference to speak and participate.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I saw him in June. He participated in a news conference I was in front of the Supreme Court building on the 26th of June, the anniversary of the Obergefell decision.
Yes.
The same-sex marriage. He was there. He was
right.
there also. So, yeah, that'd be fantastic. So the ultimate purpose of the conferences, not just this one specifically, but the ultimate purpose is to give Christians the tools they need.
Well, that's a big part of it, Diane. There's another part of it that I think gets overlooked a little bit, and that is that we want to give Christians who understand what's happening out there in the world, that get it, that the those who are consistent in their ungodly worldview do not want to get along with us.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want to tolerate us. They want to destroy us. They want to wipe us off the face of the earth so that they will not be remembered. We won't be remembered anymore. Unless anybody think I'm overstating the case, all they have to do is read Psalm 83. That is the complaint of the psalmist in Psalm 83, that the enemies of God got together and want to wipe Israel off the face
mm-hmm.
of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not anybody say that I'm overstating the case or I'm like seeing things that aren't there. No, the Bible's really clear on that. Again, all you have to do is read Psalm 83. So we wanted to give people who understand the times, shall we say, an opportunity to get together, to meet each other. And we found that to be the case in the past with with some of the men and women, frankly, that came. Mm-hmm. Many, you know, some say, hey, I didn't know there were other people in this good. I didn't know there were this many people that did it. And so it's an opportunity for fellowship. Of course, you were there as well, Diane,
right, yeah.
Which was wonderful. So that's another part of it, the opportunity for good men, good women, even good children to get together. It's called the Future of Christian Conference. Last year, for the first time, we had a children's program, and this year we have a children's program again, and they want to teach children about business and about money and finance.
Yeah.
So we are geared up and we're ready to go.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I totally agree that there are those who want to, and we see this evidenced all the time, you know, going beyond the Google and the Facebook and Twitter and such as that. There are those who want to either silence Christians or they want to make sure those Christians comply with the secular belief system. And if
they'll definitely tolerate us as long as we're not Christians.
Yeah. Or as long as we're Christians who don't acknowledge that we're Christians, or don't live as Christians,
yeah.
And, you know,
don't
we just
Christians.
Take the name and don't, you know, just take the name and not live out the convictions of being a true Christian. They just...
Absolutely. We've got to get that through our heads. This is a crisis in Christianity.
Yeah.
It's a big crisis. For example, we hear all the time, well, you know, you guys... You're causing, this kind of thing has been directed at us, like you're causing problems. You just need to be Christ-like. And Christ-like is one of those elastic definitions that means almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
But my response is, you know what? There was nobody more Christ-like than Christ. He was pretty Christ-like, I think.
Yeah.
And they couldn't wait to kill him because of what he said.
Yeah.
Not to kill him, torture him to death. But somehow we're to believe that if we're Christ-like, somehow the enemies of Christ will love us. Well, I don't really see any future in someone who hates Christ thinking Joel Sane is this real great, wonderful guy. If they think I'm this great, wonderful guy and they hate Christ, then maybe I'm not really identified with Christ the way I should be. Just maybe.
Yeah, they're definitely not. If the world loves you, then you're not living up to the convictions. You're not living up to what Scripture says, because Scripture warns us that, and Jesus even said, if the world hates me, they'll hate you also. I mean, that's to be expected as Christians. And
He didn't say that to the scribes and Pharisees. He said to the people that believe him,
yes,
that follow him.
Exactly. And Christians in this country are not prepared for any kind of persecution by and large. And look at where the church is growing. The church is growing where persecution is taking place in other countries where there's intense persecution and Christians are standing up to that. So it's will be interesting. But yeah, I was very impressed last year when I went to the conference because it's very family oriented. As you said, you had this year you're going to have a children's programming and such as that. But you're going to be also having the entrepreneur discussions on the level where teenagers and such would be able to comprehend that. Is that kind of the game plan to get them thinking about entrepreneurship?
Well, right now, we just have to be honest about it. Right now, we have this go-to-college lockstep thing going
mm-hmm,
on.
Exactly.
And now, you know, let me do my little, you know, disclaimer.
Yeah,
I'm not against college as such, blah, blah, blah. But how in the world are you going to start a family? How are you going to raise a large family, a godly family, starting out, let's say you and your wife both went to college,
mm-hmm,
and you're starting out together, and you have a $80,000 college bill, and she has a $90,000 college bill.
Exactly.
That is no way to start off in life.
No.
And there are so many opportunities now for business opportunities. There are opportunities for tradesmen. You know, the average age, as I understand it, of a plumber in Pennsylvania is like 58 years old.
Oh, wow.
Try to get a plumber out to your house right now.
Yeah.
They are busy, and they're making money.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to present, yes, younger people with the possibilities out there. You might be able to start a business when you're 20, and then at age 22 or 23, have lots of money in the bank,
mm-hmm,
no college debt, while your neighbor went to college for a psychology degree and is driving for Uber.
Yeah, there's definitely need there, and because there's been such a big push for for high school graduates to go to college, I always, my thinking is it looks good on paper for the school to be able to fill out their form that they send to the federal government, state or federal government, that they have a certain percentage of graduates who are going to be going on to college. I mean, it's all paperwork to the schools, and it's not necessarily the best interest of the students. And this big push for college, college is not for everyone. That's for sure.
Well, and a college degree doesn't necessarily guarantee knowledge.
That's true. They get you liberal knowledge. I mean, because they've been, the higher education, by and large, has been taken over by the liberals. Anti-Christ, anti-conservative values, and they're going to be pushing the liberal agenda in the colleges. I mean, we see that more and more.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, quick example, and anyone can find this out. I still remember, I was very grateful for this. My three daughters came right in a row, so they were all together, and I was able to read the entire Little House series for them.
Wow.
The entire Little House series by Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the last book called The First 4 Years, that's when Laura herself is grown, and she becomes a teacher.
Right.
And she's got a sixth grade education.
Yeah.
And it talks to her in the book about what she had to know in order to be a teacher. A first and second grade, and I'm telling you, there are items in there, there's knowledge there that our college graduates would have no idea what in the world she's talking about.
Exactly.
And that was with a sixth grade education. There's our Ingalls Wilder knowing more than someone with a college degree.
Yeah.
We gotta really start thinking about what this college degree actually gets you.
Yeah, except debt. I mean, by and large, it's debt. And liberal indoctrination.
None of that.
Yeah,
that.
Which is sad. So how can, now you say it's going to be in Lancaster, and the October 18th and 19th at the Lancaster County Convention Center. And
the Lancaster City Convention Center at the Marriott there.
Okay.
And if folks go to futureofchristendom.org, that's futureofchristendom, all one word, .org, they can register there. The exciting thing is that we always put an emphasis on fellowship and the opportunity for people to get to know each other and talk. And sometimes conferences are just jammed full of speakers.
Right.
We try to have a good balance between speakers and an opportunity to yak and gab and fellowship mm-hmm. with each other. So the cost is right around $120, but that includes, that's 2 days, that includes all the speaker sessions. It also includes on Saturday 3 meals. And so we are serious about, we're not going to police people. And they can go and grab a meal someplace else as they want.
Right.
But we certainly want to give everybody the opportunity to sit and talk with each other with the speakers. We ask the speakers to be available during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that is because the way we're doing, we're trying to keep the price down and giving people the opportunity to stay there, get to know each other, get to know the speakers. We think that can be a real value to everyone who comes.
Yeah, and that is fantastic. I mean, just the cost, just the fact that all three meals are covered with the registration fee, all three meals on Saturday is covered, that's good. Yeah, the fellowship was, that's important because, as you said, so many people don't know there are actually people out there who share their views. And they go to this conference, and they not only, intermingle with them during sessions, but they also have a chance to fellowship and really get to know fellow Christians more closely. And that's very important because we have to know, we have to realize that, yes, we have so many things against us as Christians in this world as the country becomes more anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize that we're not alone and that we do have other fellow Christians really, could be in your neighborhood, and you don't even realize it. So
that's right. We have fellow Christians beside us, and we have fellow Christians behind us.
Mm-hmm.
We have fellow Christians who have stood and in far more difficult circumstances than we are facing, and they stood, and they are inspirations to us.
Absolutely.
So, yes, we have each other, and each other means those beside us and those behind us.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, fantastic. So give us the website again, how they can register. Is there a deadline as such as that?
There is a deadline. I believe it's like about 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
Because the hotel has to know has to plan for food.
Meals and stuff.
But yes, it's the Future of Christendom Conference. It's futureofchristendom.org. That's all one word, futureofchristendom.org. And there are details there, registration details, speaker details. pretty much everything you need is at that website.
Okay. Okay. And they can register right there. And,
they can.
Reserve a hotel, or I think there's a link there for a hotel and such as ad for the hotel.
There's a hotel basically right in the same building if you want to stay there.
Okay, okay. And that's October 18th and 19th in Lancaster. And the website is futureofchristendom.org. There you go. You can go there and register. And I do encourage folks to do that about 2 weeks prior to, say, the first part of October or so is the deadline for registering. So, sounds good, and I look forward to being there. Yeah, my husband and I both are going to be there this year. So
fantastic.
Look forward to
seeing you.
Okay, and you take care.
All right, thank you. Good talking. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Good talking to you, too. See you in about a month. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.